This is Meet the Millennials.
What's up, guys? This is your boy, Andre Spence, the Purpose Coach.
What's up, people? This is ICOHA, One Hit Away.
My name's Cecilia Owosa, lifestyle, beauty, and straight talking videos.
I'm Deborah Chosen, and you're now listening to Meet the Millennials, the voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice of the Christian Millennials.
Welcome to Meet the Millennials, the voice of the Christian Millennial, a podcast that discusses our millennial matters from a Christian perspective with me, Elena Boateng.
Me, Esther OG.
And your special favourite, Nigeria's finest, Mr. Favourite. You know what it is? I'm looking at these Ghanaian girls and every time...
Listen, you want to be a part of the whole thing. Just admit it.
You know what? I genuinely like Ghanaians. So really? I accept it. I need to visit Ghana, but it's not about that today.
Why don't we use your government today?
The government is Michael Oluwaseyi Ayo.
Yeah.
My last name is actually Ayo. People are like, Ayo what? Because Ayo is a prefix.
It is.
Yeah.
So how did that happen?
Might want to mind your business. But you know, I'm playing. No. I took my dad's name as my first name.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did that back in the day, but not really now.
Oh.
So his name is Ayo Deji. So we have Ayo. Essentially, I have one of the shortest Nigerian surnames. So my wife is lucky.
She's very lucky.
Yeah.
Is she Naj?
No, she's Congolese.
My
girlfriend's Congolese,
well,
so potentially my wife.
We're going to just move on. So each week we host our friends and influencers in the Premier Gospel Studio for honest conversation about love, faith, trends. We basically navigate life together. So for our very final episode of the season, we are talking about the millennial hustle. We're all millennials here, and we know that millennials do the most, or at least they want to be seen to be doing the most. So there's this whole concept of, like, you need to be keeping up with your 9-to-5, you need to have your side hustles on lock, you need to have your multiple streams of income on lock. So you're at this event, you're launching this business venture, you've got your side hustles, you're wig making, you're doing bridal makeup at the weekends. Like, everybody has something that they're doing. And at the same time, you're also in church, so you're serving in at least like 6 teams. And then but you know, don't worry, because you're still keeping up with your friends, still keeping up with your family, still got your hobby on lock. Like, yeah, I play football 5-a-side every other day kind of thing. And it's just kind of like, I'm confused, because saying all of that, I've got a headache. But then in reality, if I actually look at my week schedule, I'm like, this is my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What does it look like for you, Faith?
So, my week, some of them are the same, some are different. So it could be like, I could be in Europe, I could be at home, I could be in the gym, I could be mentoring at a school,
getting
my gains. I went gym today, and my arms are looking a bit healthy still, looking very big in my baby gap. But yeah, serving at church, doing church errands, getting my hair cut, seeing my girlfriend,
wow,
seeing my friends,
getting your haircut,
taking my car to the mechanic. You know what? Life is very busy at the moment. So yeah, that's my life.
That's a part of your hustle, yeah.
Oh, it is part of the hustle.
And Esther, you obviously work at Premier.
Yes, so my hustle is my business, Stargirl Stores, www.youknow, just want to check that out. And also, I dance at my church, kind of a Sunday school teacher, and still trying
to...
been reducing that. We'll talk about that later. And also, like, I write poetry and just write in general. So keeping up with all of that can be a lot. And changing up on wigs. I mean, it takes time.
It does.
Yeah, I did notice today was a bit different. Colors are different. Are you matching with your dress? Your Ghanaian African print?
It wasn't deliberate.
Wow, so it's natural.
Yeah.
And I see the lip gloss matches this highlight.
Do you know
what
I
mean? Love it, man. It's amazing. Love that.
Faith sees these things.
Come on.
No, but obviously my hats include working in media, which is long hours, unpredictable as it is. The podcast now, which is crazy in and of itself. People think creating is easy, but it's not easy at all. Even getting people into one room is a challenge in and of itself. I do quite a lot of church, lead a Bible study. I'm starting to host events and radio a bit now and stuff. So it's a lot right now. It is a lot. But today we have one of Faith's really good friends. One of our favorite people on Instagram, a big inspiration to all of us, and she definitely knows about the millennial hustle. It's Rita Balanjo.
Wow, you put a silent H in there.
Yeah,
and
Balanjo.
Rita Balogun. Wow. Actually, it's actually Balogun.
What did you say? Balanjo. I thought it was just like a fancy millennial way of saying my name.
You know that show where the woman says her name is Mrs. Bouquet, was really Mrs. Bucket. Yeah. This could be your new. This could be the new way.
Balanjo. It sounds so bougie.
I know quite a few
they lied to
let
you.
Let me just say it for me first.
It's Balogun.
I'm so sorry. Balogun. And I swear one you of just them made pronounced it, plural it to Balogun. Anyway, we're going to do... Yeah, Rita.
I accept it. You said it with so much passion. That's all that matters.
Vim, right?
So much vim.
All the vim.
Yeah, I accept it. It's okay. It's okay.
But Rita, you are definitely hustling. So you are the CEO of Radiant London.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing that for how long now?
About 8 years now.
Wow,
I'd say.
Fantastic. And I know that used to be your mum's business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you took it over your mum. So how did that all come about?
By accident, I would say. Do you know what I mean? Every time I get asked that question, I always want to have some really deep and like some deep reason and stuff like that. But the reality is just, it literally just happened. You know, I'd just gotten back from New York from studying acting, and I thought I was going to make it straight away.
Yeah.
So I had no intentions of doing anything with my mom's business at all. But then reality struck, and I was going for auditions and I wasn't booking it. And I kept going from like high to low, you know, emotion wise. You know, one minute I'll be super excited because I've got an audition. Then I've got a call back and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. And then I don't get a job, and then I'm super, super, super sad. So my dad just one day literally sat me down. And this was after loads of arguments of my dad just saying, listen, you need to do other things. You can't just allow your emotions to be stuck on one thing. And one day he sat me down and he was like, listen, everything that is super important, God has given us more than one, right? So he's given us two eyes, he's given us two hands, he's given us two feet, he's given us two ears. So why would you think that God will only give you one talent that's going to bring your breakthrough? So I sat down and I was like, okay, that's true. So I was like, all right, I'm going to become a project manager in the salon.
Yeah.
So I just started helping out with the shoots, because when I was in New York, I did an internship for a modeling agency. Mm-hmm. So I was already like used to doing shoots and models and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, I'll just do that. And literally started doing that. At the time, there was a salon manager there who happened to be my friend. So it just made it easy. And here we are.
And it just made sense.
Yeah.
Love that. But you're also an actor, like you said. I watched something that you were in recently, Pride of Lions.
Oh, yeah.
It was absolutely amazing because it touches on so many different things like colorism, relationships, black love, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So people should definitely check that out. Are you working on anything at the moment?
At the minute, no. I'm actually trying to work on like my own projects.
Amazing.
But again, it's just quite tricky because every time I start, something else takes my attention. So it's just about kind of finding that time to just focus on it fully. But I've got loads of ideas for like little sketches and stuff, so I want to just put that stuff out.
You've also do the YouTube thing as well, so you're one of five of the Heels Off cast. Are you guys coming back?
Yeah, we are.
Amazing.
Yeah,
when are you guys coming
back?
Hope
the producer's listening.
So but it's an online talk show.
Yes.
Five females talk about love, relationships, all sorts of things, fashion, trends.
Yeah.
So when you guys due to come back?
There's little bits and bobs that we're still doing, but we just haven't put it out there yet.
Yeah, amazing. And then you're also the creator of Create Bible Study,
which along with my friend Dot.
Okay, amazing. Let's not leave out Dot. But yeah, so that's a Bible study that's aimed at young millennial creatives. Have I got that correct?
I wouldn't even say millennials, really, because we get like full-grown like adults, like, you know, that come in as well. But yeah, it's for women.
Yeah,
you know, we just felt like there wasn't really anything at the time that was just for women to just come together and actually talk about the Bible and actually understand the Bible, you know, not no gimmicks, just actually breaking down what the scripture says. So in a nice safe environment as well, where you can just be open and you can just talk. So a lot of our sessions, it's like the Bible, then it turns into like therapy sessions.
Wow.
And it's just like this really open space where people feel safe to just literally just speak their truth.
It's beautiful. How can someone come along if they want to?
Literally, we're there every other Tuesday, 7 p.m. at Radiant Bermondsey.
And what's the handle for, there's a handle for the Instagram page, right?
Yeah. it is.
Okay, follow Rita. Follow Rita.
Follow me, and then
definitely.
Yeah.
No, but definitely follow Rita, because
she's
as well as this,
queen.
This is it.
Rita is a caption queen.
It's so much pressure, you know. No, seriously, it's so much pressure. Like the other day, I met a girl, and she was like to me, "Oh, yeah, you're funnier on your captions than you are in person." I was like,
"Okay,
thanks." So it's like this pressure to like be like on the ball with the I'm
How
not a walking
stop?
Caption like
was that just like an accident and then like you've just followed through, or
I literally just caption what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Like literally is there's no even every time I've actually tried to think of a caption it never works. Like my captions are literally what I'm thinking. Like if I am thinking about money or lack of, if I caption that, I'm thinking about how I need money. It's not I'm not trying to do it for
it's
that.
It's real.
It's like real. Those are my thoughts. Like if I'm thinking about my MCM, that's like my MCM hasn't called me, so I'm putting it on my caption that hey, I'm still here. Do you know what I mean? So it's like my diary that's public. Literally.
There was one that had me crying. It was about Auntie Joshua, and you were like, someone in the world this very second today has been texted, has a good morning text from Auntie Joshua. I just got a text from Mum. Wow.
Because I just deeped it. Like I literally deeped it and it just hit me, and then it was just my caption. Because it wasn't even relevant to my picture, and that's what you would find. That's how you know it's random, because it never links to what my picture actually is. It's just my thoughts.
I fully love it. So how do you balance acting and being a CEO?
You know, I think I don't really balance it on purpose. I feel like every time the salon is super, super busy, or I need to be at the salon, I need to be focused on the salon, I just don't book any work. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't. It's like it just becomes really quiet on the acting front. And then when things are pretty okay with the salon and things are kind of flowing, I find that I then book an acting job. Mm-hmm. And every time I say, I don't want to do acting anymore, this is long because I'm not booking anything, it's like God will give me a job as a reminder that, nah, you're still in the game kind of thing. Yeah. But in terms of trying to balance it can be difficult. Mm-hmm. But also it's about when I do get an audition, when I'm at the salon, I have to just focus on the fact that I have this audition, because sometimes I get the audition and then I feel like, oh, let me quickly send this email for the salon. Let me quickly do this. Let me quickly do that. And I have to literally shake myself and be like, hold on a second. Nah, you've got this audition. It's going to be over tomorrow. Just take out 2 hours and just focus on this audition and then go back to the emails at the salon. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it kind of just works that way, where I kind of balance it out like that. But I feel like God just balances out, like he balances it for me. Do you know what I mean? I think there's only been one time where it's been intense, like both, like the same time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that, it was crazy. Wow. It was really, really crazy.
Wow. What was that season like?
I literally, when I was on set, I was dealing with the emails, then I was doing my lines, then I went back on set, and then literally, then after the job, I was in a cab going back to my hotel, and I was calling back all the customers that had like tried to book an appointment. So literally, I just,
you had to just make it work.
Yeah.
God, literally. It's just strength,
innit? Yeah.
Question for everybody. Do you feel like social media makes you feel like you should be doing more?
Yes. Well, not particularly me. I think I do it too much. So, but in a grand scheme of things, yes. Because there's this kind of notion that everyone should quit their 9-to-5 and be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Everyone does not have the grace and skill to be a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Or, essentially an entrepreneur in the most... true sense would be a CEO of whatever they're setting out to do.
Mm-hmm.
No one has the grace to do that. Some people are better off staying in 9-to-5 or better off serving under someone.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the PA to the CEO or whatever. The second thing is there's this desire of having and wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get it, you realise it's not always what you wanted, or it's not what you seem it to be. So satisfaction. The third thing is, a lot of social media is not even true.
Trust me.
So you're in a really crap hotel, but you took a picture outside the good hotel on the Abbey Street.
Wow.
And you posted that as yours and you tagged the hotel. Like, so when you realise these things aren't really true, it's just, leave it, man. And I think maybe we in this room are opportuned to have this type of mindset because we're wise enough. And because we are living out our dreams and we see the reality of it.
Yeah.
And those who aren't always think there's more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is fun parts to it. I guess managing your own diary or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But someone has a 9-to-5 would probably essentially have less headache and have a better hairline and better edges than we do. Because we're stressing over paying 17 staff or doing this or renovating the new building or whatever. How can I keep up with the next trend of this or that? How can we create the next trend, rather? So much headache to deal with. So, yes, social media does play a major part in that.
For me, it's like, I don't really want to be an entrepreneur, to be fair. So what social media plays in for me is kind of like socially.
Mm.
So it's like everybody's like, at Best Life Birthday, they've traveled the world, etc., etc. And like I'm just at home, like trying to get my podcast off the ground and trying to host some more events and whatever. So like I'm busy in my own stream, but then you're like, oh, so how come I can't, like, you know, conquer the world but also see my friends like every other day kind of thing, and like just go chill in restaurants and stuff. It's like you honestly have to like streamline your life if you want to kind of build and grow. Mm-hmm. But it's like social media makes you think that everything needs to be happening all at one time, because you see everybody doing it all at once. So you're kind of like, so what's wrong with me that I can't do it all at once? Like, did they never have to make any sacrifices? Like, where's the balance, you know? That's my struggle.
A lot of these people are going to physically break down because the human body is not really designed to do all that at one stretch.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I lived that last year. I was working here part-time on Saturdays. I was doing my normal 9 to 5. So I was working 6 days a week, still doing volunteers at church, doing like late night dance rehearsals. And it got to a point when I was working here at Premier and I got sick, and I was so ill, they had to call an Uber to take me home, all because I was just doing the most. Mm-hmm. Instead of me to just stay home and rest, I'm now having nearly collapsing on the floor and literally having to call the boss to be like, Esther is projectile vomiting all over the place. How is she going to get home? Mm. And that's when it dawned on me, like, why am I killing myself for who? For what? Mm. So now, honestly, every time I'm like, oh, I need to be doing this and that, fear of missing out, I remember that moment. I'm like, nah, it's all right, you know. I'm staying home. I'm tired. I'm actually staying home. So it's not worth it.
Yeah. I started muting my friends. It's really weird. Like, I'm not beefing them.
You
love them.
You can mute on Instagram now.
No, on Instagram. Yeah. Because what I found is that when I see people's Insta stories, suddenly I feel like, oh, I wasn't there, or oh, I knew I should have gone, or this, that, and the other. And a lot of these events, when you get there, you kind of wish you didn't, because it's not even as lit as you would think it would be.
Yeah.
So I feel like my life's gotten better when I've just muted them, because I'm just like, I want to see how they're doing.
Yeah.
I just call them. I don't actually need to see what they're doing or who they're with every second of the day. So I just mute their Insta story. I don't see their story. So I don't feel like I'm missing out on any event.
True.
Like, I didn't feel like I missed out on Beyonce because I didn't see any of my friends that were there. It's like it didn't even happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
that's
I felt,
such a good idea.
So that's exactly what I do now. So it can just, at least that's out of my head. You know?
Completely hear you. But is there any truth to, if someone is only doing their 9 to 5, does that mean they're lazy?
No. Because
who said that?
It's a question.
Elena.
It's a question.
No, because 9 to 5s can be stressful in its own right. Even if, I don't know, you work in the best field ever, even if you work for Beyonce and you only work 9 to 5, you don't travel, you don't leave the office, Beyonce's schedule is wild. Even if you work in a nursery, schedule. Kids are wild.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you work for TFL, something is potentially going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, no. Working a 9 to 5 only is probably the best, wisest and safest decision to do. Because one, you know your hours are 9 to 5. You know your pay is coming on the 28th or whatever of every month. You know, do you know what I mean? With a lot of creatives and entrepreneurs, we take our work home because it's in our head. You can't take your head off. So you're always thinking about the next range, the next episode, the next this, the next this and that. So you can't. So those who are in 9 to 5s that can literally leave work at work, you are blessed.
Mm-hmm.
We probably envy you to a degree. So do not try and envy us, because you are living your own best life.
Because I do feel that sometimes, especially with people who are entrepreneurs, they sometimes put like a bit of a stigma on people who work their 9 to 5, and it's like, you need to calm down. Who's gonna be the one buying your product anyway?
Exactly.
The people who are in stable jobs who have an income to purchase your product.
Yeah, so I envy people that do 9 to 5s every 30th, man. I swear, I'll see the tweets like, oh yeah, payday. I'm like, nice. real nice. No, 9 to 5, if I could go back in time, I would have done a 9 to 5 until I was at least, you know, till my age now, and I would have probably started doing business at like my age, at 28.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it early. When young girls, like, I meet a lot of young girls and they'll say to me, oh yeah, I really want to, I just feel like I want to do my own thing now, I don't want to work for anyone, I want to do this. I'm like, listen, work for someone else, you know, because when you work for someone else, then you know how to lead better.
Yeah,
you know, I had a lot of difficulties because I didn't know what it was like to be an employee. Do you know what I mean? So my head was just very much, you do this, you do that, if you work later, it doesn't really matter, blah, 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 because I didn't know what it was like to be an employee. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's only now I've had to learn the hard way that actually you have to treat your employees like not like they're just employees, but mm-hmm. as like they're people. They have lives, they have families. But I didn't know that at 21 or 22. So I don't understand why people are rushing. Like, get your coins, mm-hmm. let the money come in, save your money, and when the time is right, then venture out. There's no hurry to... I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's just so weird to me. I'm like, 19-year-olds are like, I'm starting my own business. I'm like, okay, that's good, but you don't have to leave your job. You can do both.
You can do both. Yeah, it's true. I feel like there's two sides to the coin, and I'm not coming from a place where I think that you're lazy. Not at all. That was more of a provocative question. But I do think that, like, God has given us so much. Mm. So it's kind of like when I do meet people that are literally just doing their 9 to 5, and you know that they have so much talent or skills in other areas, I am that person that normally does say, you know, you could do this on the side as well. Like, you know, you could do that on the side as well and stuff. Like, because I just think even in, like, scripture where God says, like, we are his handiwork, created to do good works in advance and stuff, I just feel like we can live a very full life in balance. Mm-hmm. It takes time. It takes practice. It takes growth. But I wouldn't want to just do my 9 to 5. Mm. And I wouldn't necessarily maybe encourage anybody to just do their 9 to 5 unless they knew their whole purpose is in that. So every day that they go to that, they're living out what God has created them to do. Mm. Is that unreasonable?
Well, I think that's about timing as well, though. There has to be, just because, say, for example, I can write poetry, but maybe that's not the time for my gift to shine at that point. Yeah. I think timing is a crucial thing, because sometimes it might be experiences that you have in your workplace that will even motivate you to write that song anyway. Yeah. So I think it has to be about time. I think when we think about purpose, in the Bible it talks about the talents, and, you know, there's all that kind of, you know, oh, what am I doing for God? What am I doing for God? Yeah. And sometimes I've had to just take that moment to just relax. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, God isn't in a hurry. Just relax. A little bit, allow him to do his thing at his time. And I think sometimes we're so hungry and desperate for purpose, we must have receipts for every aspect of our life.
Yeah.
And it's just like, sometimes just chill, work that 9 to 5 for now. Maybe the season to do something on top of that will come once you've got the maturity that you need from that 9 to 5. So I think timing is a crucial aspect of that.
I'm with Esther. I am 20 something. And I am in no rush, to live to anybody's clock other than mine and God's.
Yeah.
I have friends that are 20. My guitarist just turned 23. Mm-hmm. He's been married for a year.
Wow.
And a bit. 24. He's been married for a year and a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm 29. I'm not even married. But I don't even care. I went to his house for barbecue last week. You know what I mean? I'm eating. So my thing is, don't allow social media or other people to determine, by your 20s, you must have that. I'm not saying don't have goals. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying don't work towards something. But if, I remember I wanted to be married by 23. Wow. When I was in probably secondary school.
Yeah, mine was 18. Wow. I was like, I'm glad to 18 to an American basketball.
I don't think I had an age in my head.
So, but my thing, I was always like conscious about women, self-respect them, etc. Okay. So I've always wanted to like get married young or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm 29 and I don't feel I've failed. If anything, I'm more wiser. Mm-hmm. Not that I would have been dumb and young then. But I just feel like I'm genuinely living my best life right now. So, yes. And going back to your question about the 9 to 5 and should they do more, I think if you have a talent, it's good or a gift, and it's good to nurture it. Mm-hmm. So I guess write poetry in your spare time or whatever it might be. But there's no harm in just doing your 9 to 5. I thought this the other day, like, so I'm always in a battle of like doing, like, I don't know, taking on 8 weeks to mentor young kids in a school, but balancing up having to go on tour abroad for 8 weeks. And I'm like, so people that do 9 to 5s, you mean you don't have to worry about anything else other than going to work? Because I'm like, okay, if I take off 2 weeks again, that means the kids are going to miss me for 2 weeks. They don't really have a stable male figure in their life. I've now hopped on a plane for 2 weeks. They're going to miss me and need me. So that's how my brain is. So those who have 9 to 5, I'm like, wow. So really, realistically, you're just going to work and coming home. Obviously, there's like, whatever, you might go gym or whatever. But realistically... after 9 to 5, you're not even thinking about taking time off to go and do an audition for a play or for an advert. So I'm just mind blown that people who have 9 to 5s just have to worry about that. And I don't want to be ignorant and say they don't do anything else. Mm-hmm. I've already mentioned that prior. But yeah, for us in this room, we know we're trying to find, Tuesday night, can't do Tuesday, I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. That day, or it's just, it's a lot to balance.
So to be fair, you can have a 9 to 5 and still have a very active social
I did say that as a disclaimer. Yeah. But for us, it's like, you're not taking time off during the day, realistically. Mm-hmm. During the day, often, or taking, I was gone for 4 weeks at a stretch. Mm-hmm. And I'm still having to come back and mentally, like, that's just, yeah.
It's a lot. So, in all that you guys are doing, all that we're doing, how do you prioritise God?
2 years ago, when my best friend passed away unexpectedly, I think that's when I learned, because all the things that I had kind of had goals in my mind, okay, I want to achieve this, I want to do this. When that happened, I think that was a real lesson in, you can plan all you want, life is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think when that happened, I saw the importance of, I might as well put God first. Mm-hmm. Because when I try to plan things the way that I want it to, it doesn't happen anyway. So that for me, like, I feel more comfortable just going with the wind. Going with the wind, like, that sounds like really mystical, but just like going with the flow of God. Like, even being here at Premiere, that wasn't planned. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a phone call out of the blue one day, this is a job, do you want to do it? I was working in TV before, radio was just completely random, but I was like, God, I got two dreams to be here, so I was like, okay, God's saying something, I took the job here. Do you know what I mean? So for me I'm just like, wherever God wants to do, because I've done it the other way and I've seen what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that's my mindset on it.
I'm not good at it all the time. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have moments, I have seasons where it's like, it's just priority, like, literally, like, God is just first in my mind. Mm-hmm. But then I have other times where I don't even know what that means. Like, what does it mean to put God first? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So does it mean that I'm in church, like, all the time? Is that putting God first? Is it, you know, putting others before me and helping others, is that in a way putting God first? Do you know what I mean? So I just kind of go through different phases where it's like, in terms of, like, in my mind, you know, I start my day with God all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I try my best to stay off the gram and stay off Twitter and just focus, do a Bible plan and pray and thank God for waking me up. That's like routine, you know. But in terms of, like, I've just kind of reached a stage, like what you're saying, what Esther was saying, in terms of just, I've planned my life from when I was like 14 years old. Like, I knew I wasn't going to university. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was that child that knew exactly what I was doing, and none of my plans have happened. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, that's been a hard reality for me, but also it's a reality of that God is going to do what he wants to do. So actually, I can plan everything, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah. I just need to actually trust God and actually trust my journey. Do you know what I mean? Me putting God first is, God, whatever your will is, I'm going to go with it. Because clearly, you ain't even hearing my plans. Like, you're doing your own thing. So
God just, like, sips tea sometimes.
He's like, sips like, tea, like,
just laughing. Right. He's actually like,
so, you know, yeah, but I mean, it is important, because I lose my mind when God isn't even in it. You know, when you get so busy and you don't even have time for God at all.
Yep.
Like, I lose my head, and then I get humbled, and then I remember again. Mm-hmm. So it's like a constant journey.
For me, similar to Rita, seasons were like, well, putting God first, what we might deem it to be, in regards to, like, taking time out to read devotionals, Bibles, etc. That's great. And there's times where I just can't, my schedule doesn't allow, it just doesn't work. So, for example, what I do now, I have a lot of podcasts, well, two podcasts I listen to of sermons and stuff. And then I have my Bible app on my phone, and I have the YouVersion Bible app. I'm not great at following the plans, but I still read it anyway. So I think it's about understanding that your devotion to God and your relationship with God isn't limited to the morning. It's limited to the evening. But I make God a part of my day. So I could just pray literally for 90 seconds when someone or something comes to mind. Then I'm continuing my day. Then I remember an hour later, oh snap, I just saw this notification of BBC News app. Let me pray for this country. So it's about keeping, knowing God is with me and keeping the relationship constant. That's the difference between religion and relationship. So when you're keeping the communication between you and God, like, I was just speaking in tongues on my way when I was driving down there for, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes. And as soon as I opened my mouth, I could literally just feel God with me. And it's like, rah, like, even though I had read my Bible this morning, I just prayed and spoke in tongues, and literally 2 seconds in, I could feel you with me. So I feel that's encouraging to know that I don't have to pray for 5 hours in the morning for God to be with me, or for me to feel I have done due diligence to God, including in your day, is a beautiful thing and something we shouldn't take or forget, take for granted.
Yeah. Another thing that I've been thinking about recently is the whole idea that, like, as a generation, like, as millennials, I feel like we're quite bad at, like, sharing the journey. Like, we just kind of show the wins. So it's like, you show, once you've got to this stage where, like, oh, look at me, like, I've balanced it all. Like, I've got my business now, I've got this, and I can still do X, X, X. I can still be here on a Monday, there on a Friday, et cetera, et cetera. Like, what are some of the sacrifices you've actually had to make along the way, Rita, to build your business?
Sacrifices. I saw the stuff I was talking about like 9 years ago when I first joined Twitter, and I guess that made me see, like, I mean, I used to sacrifice outings and sacrifice, like, friendships, you know, just not really being there for your friends as much, because you're thinking so much about work, or you've gone out to eat with them, but you're on your phone because you're, you know, emails and all of that stuff. Dating as well. Like, I was just thinking about, thinking back to, like, people that I had dated, and literally it was like, I can't see you because I'm working. But then I'm looking at the work now and they're stressing me. I'm like, look at the sacrifice. Like, you might not even care. But, like, just little things like that, you know, especially when you're growing up, you don't even... You're just so tunnel vision, like, okay, I need to do this, I need to do this work, I need to do this acting stuff, I need to do all of that. But then all the other stuff, they, I don't know, like, spending time with your family or people that you care about, it doesn't take you away from that.
Yeah.
There's enough time for that. And I just feel like growing up, it was just very tunnel vision, and I wasn't there for my friends like how I should have, and stuff like that. So,
do you guys feel bad if you don't make time for people, though?
Nah, I don't feel bad. I think the beautiful thing is that everyone understands what I do.
Okay.
I rang my friend yesterday. He said, is this an international call? I'm not paying for this. So everyone knows that I'm rarely even around. So I think the beauty that everyone understands, I thought it would only be someone who is, I guess, essentially being selfish, won't understand. And I guess we ourselves are being selfish by pursuing our own dreams. So, but I'm grateful everyone does understand. And the thing is, no matter how busy you are, you always make time for that which you for that things and who you deem as important.
It's true.
Thank God for WhatsApp and iMessage and FaceTime, because although I'm away from you, really I'm not, because still in communication and in constant contact.
Yeah.
So I feel like using those things enables you to, you know, still be in the picture. I know you might not physically be there, like I've missed weddings, parties and all sorts because I've been abroad or been away, I had to take a show, but I've still been present.
Yeah,
to be fair, I don't have. I'm quite. It's not a very bad thing to say. I'm quite good at superficial relationships, anyways.
Superficial.
So, I think.
Elena, you might want
to. Do you know what I mean? When you have to just be thinking, okay.
I think. In my defense, I think that's the nature of industry I worked in, freelance, which means you're always a new kid at school. So you start a job, everyone's best friends for 3 months, and then you're off to another job. So I kind of learned to kind of keep people slightly detached. So I've got a very, very small circle anyway. And other than the occasional, you're still alive. I'm good.
I can honestly say that I do feel bad. I do feel bad, but I don't know, maybe that's just my nature, but a part of me always tries to think what's more important. Do you know what I mean? I find it really hard to, like, sometimes figure out, like, is this thing that I'm, like, going so hard for more important than relationships? Because what am I going to take with me when I go to heaven? Like, it's what I deposited in people to some extent. So I think that's where I find the balance quite tricky, and I can't just be like, yeah, do you know what? It's just a really busy season. See you later.
Doesn't it depend where your friend is actually at. I mean, there's a difference between if a friend just went through a bereavement, sorry, I'm busy, you know.
But listen, sometimes it's really hard. It really depends.
Okay, with bereavements, or really like bereavement, or like you're really depressed. I always find time. Even if I'm abroad, I'm sending you a voice note, I'm on FaceTime, I'm sending flowers to you, I'm doing something. So you know that, bro, I got you. I remember I had to make a sacrifice for a major event in one of my friend's life to go abroad. Let me tell you, that was the best decision I ever made.
Wow.
Because the contacts and relationships I built from missing that particular life moment for my friend has gone beyond that special day. And our friendship, me and that friend, is still going on to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to make that sacrifice, and I don't regret it. At the moment, I was like, nah, I can't, it's difficult. I was like, am I going to break it to him? But once I went, I was like, it was worth missing.
Mm-hmm.
But I still FaceTimed him on that day, saying, hey, how's it going? I'm happy for you. Yo, man, enjoy your day. Yeah. So I was still present,
mm-hmm.
despite being absent.
Yeah.
That's so. The key thing, though. There's ways to be present for somebody without necessarily physically being there.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, no matter how busy you are, it doesn't take much to just send a, you're right, or just to do a quick 2-minute voice note. Do you know? Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to physically be in the room holding their hand.
It's encouraging to hear both sides, because I feel like that is me. Like, I always want to add that personal touch. But then at the same time, I completely hear what you guys are saying as well, in terms of, like, there is ways to show you care without physically being there. So it's growth, it's learning. Rest is important. Yeah. I feel like God's been challenging me on that a lot. Obviously, in the Bible, it says, like Jesus says to us, that I didn't create the Sabbath for myself, I created it for you, kind of thing. And I've just been getting into a season where, like, I've been doing so, so much and forgetting just how important rest is.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you guys build rest into your mad schedules? Mm.
So for me, rest is kind of wild. But because I've been in, like, in the UK for 10 days mm-hmm. straight, got out of bed last week at 4 p.m. I'm not even lying. I didn't even go to the toilet. I was in bed till 4 p.m. Yeah. I don't have a body clock, though. So I sleep for 4 hours, then I'm awake,
mm-hmm.
go back to bed. God knows when last I did 8 hours straight, or even 6 hours straight. My body can't do it no more. But yeah, rest. I love doing recreation, like going to cinema. I'll go to cinema, I'll fall asleep in the cinema, but I'm still having a good time. You know what I mean? So you try and find rest as much as you can. Like, this are no days off. You're going to kill yourself. Even machines and cars break down. It's what's called wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to break down. So rest is super important to find.
Have you ever experienced burnout, Rita?
I think I did recently, actually. Wow. For the first time. Mm. Yeah, recently I had a proper burnout. Like, it was really bad. But I mean, I don't know. I am quite balanced in terms of, like, the fact that I work for myself, or, well, not really, but the fact that it's not a strict 9-to-5, mm-hmm. that means that I can build my own kind of schedule. So yeah, if that means I'm working at 10 p.m. instead, because that's when I've got the ideas and that's when I can plan all of that stuff, then I wake up the next day at 12 o'clock or whatever, then that's also okay. But I feel like with me, like, it's just been a mental thing. So I've just been quite busy. When you break down, yeah, and when you have a moment, people always say they're there for you. But they're not really there for you. Like, honestly, and, like, honestly, like, even just maybe, like, a month ago, like, two of my friends asked me how I was.
Mm-hmm.
I said with my chest that I'm not okay. Both of those friends did not follow up on that. It's like they didn't even take it in.
Yeah. Mm.
And I genuinely, I wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And I said it. So people always like, if you're not okay, man, say something.
Yeah, it's true.
Let us know. Don't be quiet. I wasn't quiet. I said it. I was like, nah, do you know what? I'm not okay. I feel like this. One of my friends still hasn't messaged me back till now. So if you need to sleep, you need to sleep. And if that means saying no to a project or saying no to doing stuff, it's okay. And it doesn't make you less of a boss. It doesn't make you less ambitious. Mm-hmm. It means that you're wise.
Yeah.
You have wisdom.
But then you picked up on something there then, because you said that it doesn't make you less of a boss. And I think the struggle people might have with rest is that guilt feeling that they have when they are still. So I work, like, crazy hours here, so I might work from 7 till 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
So then on the days that I'm not working, I feel like, nah,
what am I doing?
Like, I feel like I need a receipt for my life. Like, I need to have done something, at least an errand, at least gone to the dry cleaners, at least done the food shopping. I feel, because to just lie down and just watch Netflix feels so indulgent. I feel like God, like, you did not create me to just sit here and
you better
Netflix.
Indulge, you know.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what? Because instead your life is, there's different seasons of your life. So you will have a season where you will not be able to indulge in Netflix. Do you know what I mean? You will not have the time. Netflix can be very educational.
Okay? Seriously,
I've learned a lot from people. Always say, like, oh, where do you find the time to binge watch? Do you know how much I learn from certain shows? Like, Mr. Selfridge taught me so much about business, like, and gave me so many ideas to what to do with the salon. That was me. I didn't know I was going to get that. Do you know what I mean? I was just binge watching, but I learned a lot from it. Do you know what I mean? So I just think you have different seasons when you'd be able to do that. I've had seasons where I don't have time for Netflix at all.
Yeah. But then, do you think there's such thing then as the immigrant mentality? Because I'm assuming most of us therefore have parents that were, you know, from different countries. Mm. And I know when I look at my parents, I didn't see much rest. just, I saw you, we have that survival mentality. Mm. And so when you see that growing up, it's kind of, when you're not doing that,
yeah,
you almost comparatively feel like lazy. Like, my mom like worked 3 jobs and she could do this. And yeah. Like, maybe I'm not doing anything.
No, my parents that told me this though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, my dad will tell me that you need to, as the boss, as a leader, you have to make sure that your mind is right. When your mind isn't right, you cannot lead. It's impossible. You can't do anything. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I found. Mm-hmm. I found that I wasn't leading my girls properly because I was genuinely tired, you know? It's not lazy, it's just wise.
I think for anyone, whether you work 9 to 5 or you're trying to hustle on the side, look after your body.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can go to gym, if you can jog, if you can get off a bus stop or two earlier to walk, take supplements, take your vitamins, take tonics, 7 C's, cod liver oil, vitamin C. Now I'm being dead serious.
It's so
because
true.
This is why a lot of pop stars die and are dependent on drugs, because they're worn out and it's like, man, I need to pick me up. So they'll take cocaine or something, which gives them that boost. But there's natural stuff. Natural, I guess. But stuff like vitamin C or whatever. Black people, we require vitamin D. We require sun.
Yep.
So having a deficiency of it in Europe, particularly England, is going to affect you. Living in a country in general, which is cold, affects you. That's why when you go on to Africa or somewhere hot, you're in a good mental space. People don't understand being in England or a cold place can affect your mental space. The truth is, if you die today, life is going to continue without you.
Yeah.
We're going to say rest in peace. We're going to remember you for a month. We're going to forget you.
Might plant exactly a month.
We might do a flower. Then maybe might remember you 6 weeks later because we saw a picture on Facebook that reminded us of you. The truth is, when you die, life goes on. Mm-hmm. No one really cares. Someone's going to take over your business when you die. Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Someone's going to take over your job when you die, or when you're in hospital because you had a stroke because you didn't balance your health.
I have heard of stories of people who worked on TV crews who were just driving whilst exhausted, crashed and dead. For what? For a simple TV production company.
Wow. So, 250 a day or 150 a day?
So many times when I've done the most, and you feel that like level of expectation to like be doing everything, and it's like, I've got to stay in the office till like 10 PM, etc. They need to see that I'm here. That I'm present and so forth. But it's like, I'm just getting to a stage now in life where I'm like, I can't come and kill myself. Like, literally, I live by that phrase now. Like, I cannot come and kill myself. And rest can look like so many different things for different people. Do you feel like, for you, Rita, in this season that you're in where you're trying to, like, you know, come out of burnout, work things out, are you having to let go of some things?
I'm having to let go of my former ideals. Do you know what I mean? My former, this is how things are supposed to be. Do you know what I mean? And just realize that, listen, this is where you're at. Now deal with it from there. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Being honest. I think it's important to be really honest about where you're at. A lot of people can give you compliments and say, oh my gosh, you're smashing it. You're doing this, you're doing that. They're just going off based off what you're showing them.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's important to realize, actually, is this working? Am I doing this right? Actually, this is a flop. Okay, it's a flop. What can I learn from it? And move on and just be honest with yourself about where you're at.
So I think one of the easiest places to experience burnout is church, because it's like you can easily be like, oh, I'm serving on this team, I'm serving on that team. Oh, they need a little bit of help with that. Oh, yeah, I can come in a little bit earlier or whatever. I've seen that happen to so many people in their church journey. Like, how do you deal with that?
You have to be careful that you don't get emotionally blackmailed within the context of ministry, because it's for God. And I think you still need to be able to put those boundaries. I remember I should have just said, I can't handle it. But I was working 7 till 6, going after to church, and I'll do dance rehearsal. It got to the point where I was so tired. You know when you're so tired, you just cry. My dance leader was trying to show, there's a change in the dance step, we have to do this step. This was the day we're going to be ministering the dance. And I just stared into tears and burst into tears. So I was like, I'm done. I'm emotionally, physically, I'm exhausted. I can't process this. And I think when I got to that point, luckily the dance was cancelled, I didn't have to do it that day. But like, when I got to that point, it was like, why did I even allow myself to get to this point? Yeah. I should have just said, I can't do
and
this.
And I think that's important. Do you know what? Yeah. Like, I am, like, Faith's in my church, so I can't even lie here, because we're in the same church. But with me, like, I don't want to sin. So I don't like to do something if in my heart I'm complaining. Mm. Like, anyone that knows me, I'm a complainer. Do you know what I mean? I would do it, but I'll complain first. Do you know what I mean? So my mum be like, oh, you know you need to come in for this event, but I didn't know this event was happening. Why didn't anyone tell me? That's complaining, right? And I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. So I'm like, I've been trying to work on my heart to make sure that my heart is in it. I'm not just doing something because I have to. Mm. I have to do it. And then in my mind, I'm sitting there and I'm complaining, because for me, that's, God doesn't want that. He wants you to do it with a glad heart. So I feel like if you're unable to do it, not to say you don't feel like doing it or you don't want to do it and you can't be asked, but if you genuinely just, even if you just, you know, you feel like, actually, I don't want to actually do this, or there's other things that I would prefer to do, I think it's important to be honest about that, because it's better for you to do something from an honest place than to do it and you hate it. Yeah. And you're lying and you're doing it badly. So, do you know what I mean? So
I think one, this is a different podcast entirely. I know we're whatever, but your service in church, in my opinion, is not linked to your salvation.
Mm.
Many a times we feel that our service is linked to our salvation. So if you're not a worker or serving in church, then I'm going to hell. Am I a Christian? Oh my God, what on earth am I? So I think just having to, yes, it's good to do stuff for God, but realizing that if I can't go to this particular thing, God is not going to be mad at me.
Because
at the end of the day, God knows your heart. I think it's just wisdom. Like if you're saying you don't want to go to church because you want to go and go to one ward party in Ibiza, I don't know, that's another conversation.
It's up to you.
But in regards to taking rest, understand that God loves that. And God instituted that.
Mm.
So just let everyone know that. Because a lot of people feel a bit condemned. Oh my God, it's for God.
100.
I need to understand that. Nah, man, God loves you, man. You have to operate from a place of love and freedom, not a place of fear and judgment.
Yeah. 100.
So that's a very important thing to note.
Yeah.
There was a time when I wanted to let go of leading Bible study. And I was like, God, I'm done. I'm not leading it anymore, kind of thing. And then I had this dream where he was like, if you let go of it, like, you won't be able to get it back when you want it back, kind of thing. And that made me see that, like, okay, sometimes it's not actually letting go of something, which is what I thought was the instant solution. I just need to let go of something's got to go. Sometimes it's like figuring out how to do it better, and now I've like brought on new leaders and so forth, and I can do it better because it's like I've allowed myself to make room for it in my life. So it's so true what you're
saying. But that is the hardest thing, because even with Create, there's been times I remember I had the worst day ever. Like, that day for me was so hard, and we had Create on that day, and I had just been crying the whole day because I was so stressed out, and then I had to like do Create.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to be like, oh, let's just cancel Create, like, it's just long, you know, people won't care. But I remember on that particular day, and I didn't want to do it, but we still ended up doing it. And I was complaining, like I said, I've got this issue with complaining. complaining and whatever. And then people came, and one of the girls that came, like, it was just such a beautiful, 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 like, time. And I remember me and Dot were just like, it's not even for us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we may feel like we don't want to do it, but it's not even for us. Because if I had selfishly cancelled because I had had a bad day, but then God had already planned for this girl to come so that she could hear something for her, I would have taken that from her because I had a bad day. Do you know what I mean? Totally. So that is really difficult to, like, especially when it comes to, like, Bible studies and stuff, when you just do not feel like it. And now I don't even think about it anymore. Like, I just know that every other Tuesday, that's what we're doing. Day's been good, whether it's been bad, it's happening. And I don't even think about it. Because if I try to think about my options, I'm going to go into the complain mode.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss my blessing. And I'm not trying to miss my blessings anymore. So,
amen. Yeah. We're going to wrap it up. So, Faith, if you could hit us with the conclusion. With in mind, a millennial who's struggling to prioritize, what would you say?
I would say, live your best life. Understand the grass is not greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. So where you are, take time out and realize that I need to take time out to rest and to realize, are my goals driven by me or by social media? Is it driven by other people's aspirations or by my aspirations? Know that there's always people you can get help from. Seek help. Don't feel embarrassed to learn from the greats. Don't be embarrassed to serve. I think the best way to be a leader is to be a servant. So serve first before you do whatever. If you do want to live a 9-to-5, do a 9 to 5. There's nothing wrong with that. If you've been an entrepreneur, be an entrepreneur, but understand that is a weight that comes with it. Mm-hmm. Know when to say yes, know when to say no, and don't forget to give me your tithes when business is blooming. So that's my conclusion.
Glory to God. I want to set our listeners a little challenge this week. I challenge everyone to plan an evening of rest in this upcoming week. Like, just be intentional about actually just having an evening to just do you. I want to leave you guys with a scripture. It says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Just put God first and it will all fall into place in Jesus' name. So let's just say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the ability to just be here together and just discuss the things that matter, Lord Jesus, the things, the challenges that we're going through. I just pray that you'll help us to understand what to do and how to prioritize and what to put first, Lord Jesus, and to make you our number one, Lord God Almighty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So sure to follow Rita on her socials.
Yes.
It is Miss Rita B MS.
For
Rita
Captions B, of Life.
Also Radiant London.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Radiant London Salon.
Radiant London, that's the salon. Radiant London Salon.
Yeah.
Radiant London Salon. There's a branch in Bermondsey and in Croydon. Croydon's on the other side of the world, but we live there and we rep it all day, every day.
All day.
Follow Premier Gospel, because Jesus loves the whole world.
Amen. Amen. So that was the very last episode of Meet the Millennials for the first season. I just want to say a huge thank you to my amazing co-host, Faith. Faith. I always call you Faith. Fiercely friendly Faith when I talk wow. about you to other people, because you are genuinely fiercely friendly.
Come on,
take that with you.
I will.
My Ridey, my Cody, my bestie of life, even though she doesn't like me, Esther OG, Cassandra, for being the realest chick on the block. It has been amazing. It has been such an amazing journey. So thank you guys for locking in. Thank you for staying with us, and stay on the socials to find out more updates at Premier Gospel. This is Meet the Millennials.
What's up, guys? This is your boy, Andre Spence, the Purpose Coach.
What's up, people? This is ICOHA, One Hit Away.
My name's Cecilia Owosa, lifestyle, BT, and straight talking videos.
I'm Deborah Chosen, and you're now listening to Meet the Millennials, the voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice of the Christian Millennials.